This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين ثم ما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dearest brothers and sisters, and welcome. This is the fifth lesson now, the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. We're on the verse Maliki Yawm al-Din. So just to recap, the way this surah began is by speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling us who Allah is. Alhamdulillah. First of all, Allah is the one who deserves to be praised and thanked by all of His creation. Then Allah told us who He is, another attribute of His, Rabbil Alameen, that He is the master of all that exists. He is our master. And then Allah described us further who He is by telling us two of His names, both of which are related to His attribute of what? Mercy, Rahmah. And that was interesting because piecing it all together, we're being told that Allah is our master, and then the master is being described. And the way you think of a slave master is nothing to do with mercy, right? Usually a slave master, and the idea of a slave master conjures up, you know, attributes such as strictness, harshness, maybe brutalness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Himself as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, attributes of mercy. Yeah, we spoke about what those two beautiful names meant. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue the same theme. What is that theme? Speaking about who Allah is. The description of Allah continues in this verse. Allah tells us that He is Maliki Yawm al-Din. He is the Malik, the owner of the Day of Judgment. And that's very different to the verse before this, which is about His mercy. And there's actually a beautiful contrast between the two. For when you think about the Day of Judgment, what comes to your mind? What kind of feelings come to your mind when you think about Yawm al-Qiyamah and the rising before Allah? Fear. Fear, good. Any other words to describe what you think when you reflect over Yawm al-Qiyamah? Sorry? Scorching, did you say? You mean the heat? Yes, anything else? Accountability. Yes, very good. Hope and mercy. Okay, hope and mercy. The idea that there's an accountability, there's a possibility of reward, and also the possibility of punishment as well. You want to add something? Anxiety. Very good. Very good. So, when you hear Maliki Yawm al-Din, this is the kind of emotional state that you should listen to it. That when you're thinking about the Day of Judgment, the thoughts are dread, fear. Okay, and subhanAllah, the way Allah describes Yawm al-Qiyamah in the Quran, unbelievable. Allah subhanAllah tells us, يَوْمَ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا, the day on which the hair of a baby will turn grey. Just imagine, a baby thinks of nothing but food, maybe going to the toilet, and then to think that same baby on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be in such a state of fear that its hair would turn grey. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the pregnant woman. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that every pregnant woman will miscarriage on that day. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. And if you were to see the people, they would be in a state of drunkenness. Imagine when you see people drunk outside the pubs, Allah is telling us that that's the way everyone will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَ, but they are not actually drunk of alcohol. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ, but the reality is that the punishment of Allah is so painful that people will be drunk on fear that day, subhanAllah. Okay, so that is the kind of feeling that you should get when you're reading Maliki Yawm al-Din. And that comes together very nicely with the previous verse, because the previous verse is all about mercy, about hope, about happiness, thinking about the mercy of Allah. And then comes the next verse, which is fear and dread. If you bring them both together, you get the recipe for motivation, which is what? Hope and fear. If you want to persuade someone to do something, you need to combine between hope and fear. What's the negative consequence of just giving too much hope to someone, too much reward to someone? I mean, you think about like a parent and their children. You're the type of parent who say, I'm not going to tell my kid off, ever. Doesn't matter what he does, I'm only going to praise him for the good things he does and reward him. Even if he does something wrong, I'm not going to tell him off. What kind of impact do you think it's going to have on the child?
Ungrateful.
Okay, very good. Could become ungrateful. Okay. What else?
May go in the wrong way.
Okay, might mess the child up. Okay. Anything else? Yes?
Freedom.
Huh?
He has freedom.
He thinks he has total freedom to do whatever he wants. So what does that make him do then? Does that help him to become a good, grow to be a good child? Or it can make someone arrogant. Incorrupt someone, isn't it? The idea is that too much hope and it can make someone deluded. Yeah, it can make someone deluded. And then the opposite, too much fear. The parent is always strict, always harsh, always telling the child off. Never ever rewards. The same thing can happen to the child, isn't it? The child, he grows up in a state and environment where he's always scared, always fearful, and he doesn't develop. Yeah, he doesn't develop. What is the best? That's right, in the middle, right in the middle. So the same way, the communication here is between what they call targhib and tarheeb. Okay, a beautiful mix between hope and fear being brought together in these two verses. Now, what is the overall meaning of Maliki Yawm al-Din? The overall meaning is as follows, that there will be an accountability. Human beings will be resurrected before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after dying in this world. And then they will be held to account for everything that they did. And that will happen on a day. It will happen on a day. Who owns that day? Allah. Malik, he is the owner of that day when all of that will happen. Okay, this is the overall message of this verse. However, there is two ways the Prophet ﷺ would recite this. Anyone know what's the other way he would recite it? Oh, Malik Yawm al-Din, very good. And do you know what Malik means?
King.
King. Is that because you're reading it off the notes? Sorry, only Mars are coming out of here. Sorry, only Mars. Your brother told me. Allahu Akbar. You going to catch it? Oh, sorry. Malik. Malik is the other way the Prophet ﷺ will recite it. Both of these ways have been reported mutawatir, meaning been reported by great numbers of companions and thereafter great numbers of followers, etc., etc. Malik, which means the king of the day of judgment. The other way of reciting it is Malik, which is the owner of the day of judgment. And there's some overlap between the two meanings, but there's some differences as well. We'll come to that inshallah. Al-Baghawi said, out of the 10 Qurra, the 10 famous reciters of the Qur'an, which give us the 10 different modes of recitation, 3 out of 10 of them chose to recite it as Malik. However, the other 7 out of 10 chose to recite it as Malik. That's why if you travel to places like Morocco, where they recite in a different mode of recitation, you will hear them recite Maliki Yawm al-Din. Don't think it's a mistake and try and correct the imam. It's not a mistake. Okay, so they will recite it in that other way. Both of them are going back to the Prophet ﷺ, and both of them have subtle differences. And if you bring both of them together, you get extra richness in the meaning. Okay, we'll come to that inshallah. Let's take one at a time. Let us take Malik. Malik means what? King. Yeah, king. So if you think of the word Malik in Arabic, that is the idea of mulkiyah. Mulkiya is to have authority, dominion and power. Okay, so the verse is telling us then that the power and the authority and the dominion is belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, especially on that day. Allah is the king of that day. And subhanAllah, that message that it sends out is a message to all the kings of this world, all the leaders of this world, all the generals, all the big guys. They are being told that on that day, you will realize who was the real king of kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah At-Tabari brings the verse, يَوْمَهُمْ بَارِزُونَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ. Allah says in Surah Ghafir, that on that day they will be brought forth. لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ. Nothing about them will be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Then Allah will say, to whom does the mulk, the kingship belong today? And no one will dare respond. لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Allah will respond to Allah exclusively, the one, the conqueror. Subhanallah. Another hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us something similar. He said that on that day, يَقْبِدُ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضَ وَيَطَوِ السَّمَاءَ بِيَمِينِهِ. Subhanallah. Look at this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grasp the entire world and roll up the heavens in his right hand. Subhanallah. Imagine. It is nothing for Allah. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ. Then he will say, أَنَا الْمَلِكُ. I am the king. Allahu Akbar. Then he will say, أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ. Where are the tyrants? أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ. Where are the arrogant people? And no one will dare say anything. Because on that day they realize it was all a delusion. That people that were kings in this world were only kings in the eyes of their people. Not in reality. Yeah, not in reality. Let's not reflect over that. Imagine, how do you think the kings of the world will feel like on that day? The day where they realize that Allah was the real king. How do you think they will feel? Yes.
Ashamed.
They'll feel ashamed? Okay. Yes.
Jealous.
Jealous? Okay, interesting. Yes. They will feel insignificant. Exactly. They will feel like, you know what, I was living in a delusion. And what is amazing, in the Quran, Allah spoke about one king. The king who debated with Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know the way Allah described him? This king, believe it or not, his name was Numrud or Numrud. They said about him, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said about him, his kingdom span from the east to the west. He was a king for 400 years. Imagine. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam is going to go and debate with this man. Allah said about him, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ. What comes next? أَنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكُ. Allah described this man as not the king, not the one who got kingdom, but rather the one who Allah gave him kingdom. Do you see? To show us that this man is just a king in his own mind, in the eyes of his subjects. He's not really a king. Allah is the one who gave him the kingdom. Okay? But this man and the likes of him, even today, you know, the people like the tyrant Bashar al-Assad and all the tyrannical rulers, all the leaders, all the generals that think that they call the shots in the world, they will all come on that day and they will realize that, you know what, it was all a delusion. Because the real king is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maliki yawm al-din. Very strong message is being given if you recite it in that way. What is the other way of reciting it?
Maliki
yawm al-din. Malik. Malik means owner. And ownership, the root word is milk. You don't like the milk that we drink? That is in Arabic is called milk. Okay. Milkiya. The idea of milkiya, Sayyid al-Tantawi rahimahullah said in his tafsir that the idea of milkiya is to acquire something, grasp it in your hand, and have the ability to do whatever you want to do with it. Okay? And Sha'rawi rahimahullah added to that. He said it also means that you are the only one who can do whatever you want to this. No one else can interfere. If you own something, this is what it means in Arabic. If you're a malik of something, this is what it means. So I'll give you an example. Say somebody has a brand new iPhone 6s, is that one, isn't it? Yeah. So the guy gets out his iPhone 6s, and you know what? He says, oh, this doesn't work, man. Chucks it on the floor. Everyone's like, oh, what's good? What are you doing? It's a brand new iPhone 6s. Do you know what that is? He's like, yeah, so what? It's mine. I can do whatever I want with it. Why? Because I'm the owner of it. Don't tell me what I can do with it or what I can't do with it. If I want to destroy it, it's up to me. If I want to look after it, it's up to me. Allah is saying that day, Allah owns it. He can do with that day whatever He wants. You know? And the only way to appreciate Allah is the Malik of that day is to give you an example. How do you think, okay, this, give you a scenario of a young boy, naughty boy. What he's doing here, he's got dared by his mates, jump over into the house of this guy, rich guy who's got a big mansion. Okay, so now imagine, he's dead. Are you going to do it? He goes, yeah, of course I'm going to do it, you know me. So he climbs over the wall, okay, he climbs over the wall, and then he looks over, he's got a massive garden, swimming pool there, big house. Then he's thinking, you know what, let me go in. He jumps over. The moment he jumps over, he's on private property. Yeah? He's in the land of the owner. How do you think he feels as he starts to walk in that garden? How do you think he feels?
Scared.
What do you think that he's thinking about the owner right now? If I get caught, what?
He will beat me.
He could do anything he wants, right? Because the thing is, this is his place now. Even if he does do something really bad, no one can come and interfere because he owns this place. I'm in his property. He can do whatever he wants to. Okay? That feeling, okay? On Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will have that feeling about that day. You feel that Allah owns this day that I am in right now. Allah could do anything with me He wants. For He owns this day. And you own whatever is inside of that day. He owns me. See, that feeling, again, of helplessness, of powerlessness, to think that Allah, if You want, You could punish me. If You want, You could reward me. Okay, this is the feeling you get when you read Maliki Yawm al-Din. Then Allah says that it is a day. It is a yawm. Yawm, 24 hours. That is just one meaning of yawm. Okay? On yawm al-qiyamah, the day is not 24 hours. In fact, the day is not even set a time. The scholars of Islam said that the day of yawm al-qiyamah will be different according to the person. As for the believers, the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith of Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah said is sahih, that for the true believer, the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah will last like the time between Dhuhr and Asr. Nothing. Half a day, not even that. As for the disbeliever, it is a hard, difficult day. And it can last up to 50,000 years. SubhanAllah. Unbelievable. In a one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the kafir will be so fed up with waiting for the accountability that he will beg Allah to throw him into Jahannam just to stop Yawm al-Qiyamah for him. Can you imagine? Yeah, may Allah make us from those that will have a very easy accountability on that day. Yeah. Maliki Yawm al-Din, the day. If you think about it, that's a very interesting way of speaking, because the owner of a day, the idea of owning time is something really quite strange. I mean, do you own a minute of your life? Do you own a second? Do you know anyone who owns a moment? No one, right? But just imagine, if you own a minute, or even a second, This second just went past, I own everything that happened inside of it. Imagine that. This is the idea. What would your friends say about that? If you said to your mates, you know what, I own yesterday's second. And everything that happened in it, I own it. A new Ferrari just came into manufacture. In that second, I own it. What do your friends say about you? They be like, wow. Yeah, what do they say? Crazy, obviously. So, wow, are you serious? They would praise you, isn't it? They would praise you. And look how Allah began Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah. The fact that He owns that day is amazing in and of itself. And that deserves Allah being praised. Okay? So He's the owner of that day and everything that happened inside of that day. Then how does the verse end? It is Maliki Yawmi Ad-Din. Ad-Din. This word Deen is a very comprehensive word. Usually in the Quran it refers to what? What does Deen usually refer to in the Quran? Religion. Very good. Akhi, all the chocolates are going to you, mashallah, barakallah. We need someone else. Deen usually refers to religion. Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. Okay, indeed the religion, the deen, in the eyes of Allah, i.e. the only one that will be accepted, is Islam. However, it is also used in another way as well. Okay, and that is accountability. In fact, it is two meanings, two core meanings. The first is Hisab and the second is Jaza. At-Tabari said it combines between two meanings, which is Hisab, to take into account. Okay, to make an account, to verify and total up the account of something. In this instance, deeds. As well as Jaza, which means to give the recompense. Either this person deserves reward or this person deserves punishment. All of that is inside this word Deen. This is the other meaning. So Allah says that He is the Malik, the owner of this day, which is the day of totaling up the deeds of people and then giving them what they deserve. Okay? And this is what Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said about Deen. Yawma yudinu Allahu al-ibada bi a'malihim. It is the day where Allah will do the accounts for the people based on their deeds. If they were good, they will get good. If they were evil, they will get evil. Okay? And this word deen in this context is used in another place in the Quran where Allah subhanahu says about the Quraysh, they would say, أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ in Surah Safat. The Quraysh would say, is it really going to happen that we die and our bones become dissolved? Then we are inna lamadinun. Then we are going to be held to account again after this. Yeah, they use the word deen there. Okay, and also from this word we get the famous statement, the Arabic saying, kama tadinu tudan. Yeah, which in English translates says what goes around comes around. Yeah, kama tadinu tudan. So this word deen, it doesn't mean religion here. It means accountability and recompense. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the Malik, the owner of this day where all of this will happen, or He is the king of this day. Now a question here. You can recite it as king of this day or
master.
Owner of this day. Yeah, king of this day or owner of the day. I think too many answers. Yeah, I'm getting the better of you. King of this day or owner of this day. Now you can recite both, right? Now what meaning is missing if you were just to say king of this day? What meaning is kind of missing if you were just to say owner of this day? What do you think is missing? Like, if someone was the king of something, it's good and it's amazing, but it lacks something which is there if he was the owner. And the same, the opposite. You're the owner of this, amazing. But if you were the king as well, that would be even more amazing. Do you get the question? Yeah? What do you think? What is lacking if you were just to say king and not owner? If you just say owner and not king, yes?
King being right at the top is nothing higher than that. The
okay.
Being the king and then being the owner. So everything that's
Okay, so you're saying that the king, he's the highest authority.
It's like saying A1, like we have A, or A star, and then
A1. Okay, yeah. Both together is the best. Agreed. But we're asking, you know, how does it become the best? So the king, you said, has the highest authority. But the owner of something, does it necessarily mean he has the highest authority?
No.
I mean, just imagine you have a house and then you rent it out. And what do the tenants do? They ruin your house. And then they make a run for it. Then you go to your house. Your house has been trashed. You're the Malik, but you weren't the Malik. Okay? You didn't have the authority to make sure everything happened in the house as you wanted it. True or not? So if you're the Malik, doesn't necessarily mean you're the Malik. Okay? Good. Anything else? You know this pen? Can I say I'm the king of this pen? Why not? What can I say I'm the king of this pen? It doesn't make sense, does it? But why not?
So you haven't made the pen.
I haven't made the pen? Okay, but I own the pen. It's my pen.
Does it have a life?
No.
It's got no life. You cannot rule over it.
I cannot rule over it? Okay, getting closer. Kings, yeah, the kings of not small things, big things, right? Yeah, king of a land, king of, you know, all these people, all these subjects, not a pen. But you can be an owner of a pen, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what do you think the difference between a king and an owner then?
King has control over everything.
Okay.
And the owner could have a control over a specific thing. When you put together, so on the day of judgment,
yes.
So, the king will have, control over the day of judgment and whatever you wanted to do.
Yes.
And that being a king, you will have authority to implement.
The king would have the authority to implement whatever should happen.
Yes.
Agree. This is what is very similar to what the brother said. Jazakallah
khair. Yes. King will have subjects.
A king will have subjects. Okay. A king will have izzah. Okay. Good. An owner doesn't necessarily have to have respect from the people that he owns the land of. True. King has the izzah. Okay. So if he's the king, he has the izzah and he's the owner as well. That's super amazing. Yes, last person, please.
You only have one king, you can have multiple owners?
You can only have one king, but you can have multiple owners. Maybe technically in some areas, but in Arabic, like I said, the Sha'arawi said, Milkiya means the only one sole owner. Yeah, no one can interfere with that. There's another difference as well, and that is a king is usually of big things. Owner can be of small things. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, there will be tiny things taking place. There will be huge things taking place. I'm just imagine, my brothers, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, not just human beings will be resurrected, also animals as well. Yeah, we believe, according to some of the scholars, that even the animals will be resurrected, even though there is no jaza for them, good deeds and bad deeds, they will still be brought to life. Can you just imagine all the animals that ever existed? Yeah, there is, and then jinns. And then angels. I mean, just thinking about the numbers of people and things is unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable. So many small things and so many big things. Allah is the Malik, which includes all the small things, and the Malik as well, the king of all that is big as well. This is bringing together both. They complement each other and they enrich the meaning. Okay. Last thing is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not say Yawm Yawm al-Hisab, Maliki Yawm al-Hisab? Hisab means what? It means accountability too. What is missing in Hisab that is there in Deen? Ibn Ashur said that the key difference here is that Deen has the connotation of Adl, justice. That someone is taking people to account, but it's being done with justice. No one is being wronged in any way, shape or form. And that justice element comes in with the word deen, and it is not there in the word hisab. Okay, now there is a pair activity. Now, what is the pair activity? Interesting. Isn't Allah the owner and king of every day? Why specify this day? What do you think of the question? Interesting question. Allah says He's the owner or the king of that day. Isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the owner and the king of every day? It's a peer activity. Okay, you have 2 minutes to discuss it. Let's see if you can get the best answer here. Turn to the person next to you and have a little discussion. You have 2 minutes. We haven't thought it's a girl.
Habiba.
Sauda.
Sauda.
Ah, that's a nice name.
Yeah.
Because all the names we call, we already kept Sauda.
Okay.
Maybe in March?
Yes.
I have the language.
It came up just 2 o'clock.
Excellent. I think things in the season. I just need to shoot off.
No problem. Okay. I'll take it. So. Okay, brothers. Let's get your thoughts on this, inshallah. You want to kick us off? Yeah.
Is it because of the greatness of that day? Because not every day we get to see that resurrection or anything.
But okay.
That day you get to see that, like the most of, like, or the most of the power of Allah we can see while we're living in this dunya.
Okay, so on that day in particular,
yeah,
people will see the reality of Allah's power.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Very good. It's 2 of you, isn't it? Or? Suleiman, mashallah. He's been always giving, and now you will receive yourself, inshallah. Very good. So the brother said that on that day, it is as if the veils will be drawn, and people will see the reality of Allah being the owner of everything, or the king of everything, in particular on that day. And that is very true. Yeah, that is very true. Especially on that day, people will realize the reality. When in this dunya they may have been deluded of that. Right. Who else can offer something? Yes.
Okay, in this dunya, Allah allows people to earn certain things.
Yep.
Whereas in akhirah, on that day,
Allah Akbar. Whose answer is that? Is it your own person or no? It's both of you. You got a good friend there, mashallah, looking out for you, mashallah. Give him a passes on that. Okay, well, just say a bit louder, please, brothers. Say a bit louder. What's the difference? Tell us.
Allah, in the dunya, Allah allows us to earn things.
Yes.
A house, but on that day, total ownership will be to Allah and Allah.
Very good. So in this dunya, people are able to own things, okay, at least in the eyes of other people. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Infitar, يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. On that day, no one will own anything, no soul will own anything in order to benefit another soul in any way, shape or form. Yeah. So on that day, people will own nothing. When they own nothing, they realize that Allah indeed is the real owner. Okay, very good. You want to do?
On the day, everyone's good and bad deeds will be collected, counted, and will give the judgment.
Okay. So,
and
because of that,
they will count the judgment.
Because there's an accountability taking place on that day, you realize who is the king. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, very good. Milky Way, because you're young, so Milky Way is for you. Allahu Akbar, say MashaAllah. He said that on that day, judgment is being passed. Yeah, in this dunya, judgment is not being passed. That on that day, you will be judged. When you're being judged, you realize who the king is. Yeah, on that day. Anything different? Anything else?
It's very similar answer to you,
the good answer, you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
In dunya,
yes,
we have control over things. Like the brother said that we have your own things. But on the day of judgment, so our control will be finished. Allah will be the sole owner of things, and He will
yes.
have the sole control of
a very good point. Very good point. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Allah, you seriously only have Mars now. Excellent. The control on that day, no one had any control whatsoever. And even to think about, subhanAllah, that there's one hadith where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she's told by the Prophet that on that day all people will come in a state of nakedness. And she says, will we not then look at each other? And the Prophet says that we will be too consumed by that day to even look at another person, even though they are naked. Just imagine, like, being that fixated on what is happening on that day, because you got no control. Yeah, you're just worried about what's going to happen to you. Okay, very good. I'm going to read out something what Imam Sa'adi Rahimahullah said. He said, because on that day in particular, it will become clear to all creation that Allah is the real King of Kings and the absolute owner of all. His justice and His wisdom will become apparent on that day. Lastly, the fakeness of the ownership and the kingship of man will also become clear. They will be seen as equal to a slave on that day. We will all be thinking the same thing, feeling of fear from His punishment and feelings of hope of His reward. Nothing else will matter. Okay. There's one last thing as well, and that is when we will see all of creation in front of us, alongside of us. Like, that is something that never ever happened in human history, or never happen in the future. The idea that all human beings will come together, all jinn, all angels, all animals, and to witness that. When you witness it, it will only happen on that day. And when you were to witness all of that coming together, you realize that we are all the creation of Allah, and Allah is our master, Allah is our owner. Yeah, that realization can only come on that day, because that's the day you will see all of this. Okay, let us finish now. We have three lessons that we can learn from this verse. The first is the positive role of threat and warning. Okay, that when you persuade people, when you want to motivate people, there needs to be a combination between giving hope and giving what? Fear. Brothers, there's a second verse happening here. Combination between hope and fear. And this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many places in the Quran, and some places very explicitly. Like in Surah Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabbi ibadi anni ana al-ghafur rahim. Inform my slave that I am what? I am ghafur, all forgiving, all merciful. And then the next verse, wa anna adhabi huwa al-adhab al-alim. And my punishment is a painful punishment. Yeah? Both of those things together. The person is being told, tell them both things together. Okay? Don't go to one side more than the other. Not too much of Jahannam and torture and pain and punishment, and not too much of, you know, reward and Jannah and hope and etc. etc. It needs to be balanced. Okay? The second spiritual lesson is the idea of a belief in the hereafter is something which is central to our faith as Muslims. The idea that when we die, there will be a life to come, and that is the real life. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it into Surah Fatiha by saying Malik Yawmiddin shows us how important it is. And if you were to think about that, if a non-Muslim was to open the Quran and read it from cover to cover, the first thing he reads is God. Who is God? The one who deserves all praise. And He's all merciful. And then he reads, He's the King of the Day of Judgment. Now, a question. Do you think that this non-Muslim
who's never heard of anything about Islam, would say to himself, what is this day? Is it a day that's going to happen like next year, or in 10 years, or in 2050? When is this day? Is it going to happen here in the US, in Saudi Arabia? Or do you think that non-Muslims feel this is talking about after I die? What do you think? You think, yeah? No one's talking about after you die, you'll be resurrected, you'll be standing for Allah. It's just coming this verse right at the beginning that day, Allah is the king of that day. Let me show you something. Look at this. This is a cutout from a newspaper article that was, I think, came out 2 years ago in 2012. It is in the Telegraph. The headline reads, "Belief in God is part of human nature." Oxford study. It says, humans are naturally predisposed to believe in gods and life after death, according to a major 3-year international study. Okay. This, my brothers, is just another piece of evidence to show us that human beings are ingrained with particular beliefs. All of their beliefs is that there is a God. And another one of their beliefs is that, you know what, this life is not everything. There is something more to come. And you find them. You find a lot more Muslims talk about the philosophical questions, the big questions of life, like, is there life after death? Isn't that one key question that they ask? Why do they even ask that question? Because there's something inside them telling us this life isn't everything. Okay? But the lesson we're learning here is the importance of the belief in the Akhirah. It is a pillar of one of the 6 pillars of Iman. And it is something mentioned countless times in the Quran. In fact, the last verse in the Quran is what? In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. The last verse to reveal to the Prophet ﷺ is, and fear a day in which you will be all brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no soul, every soul will get what they have earned. And they would not be wronged in the least. The last verse is about the hereafter. Okay? So it is part of the fitrah, a huge part of the Quran. Even the last verse of the Quran is about the Akhirah. And this teaches us that we need to be people who are hereafter centric, always focusing on the idea that there's a life to come. And to be honest, you know what? If you don't always think about the Akhirah, you can become a depressed person. Especially in these times where we see Islamophobia being on the rise, and it's more difficult to be a Muslim now, and discrimination, racism, etc., etc., it's very easy to lose hope. But when you think about this life is nothing, it's only a few days. The real life is that life to come. Even if I have to live a miserable life here, but I get everything in the hereafter, I can handle that, isn't it? That's what you think. But you only think that when your heart is connected to the hereafter. As soon as you start to weaken in your belief and conviction in the hereafter, all of the things that happen in this world start to become so much more troublesome. Yeah, Maliki Yawmiddin makes us realize that this life is not the real life. The last lesson is that the Yawmiddin is a symbol of Allah's justice. If there wasn't a Yawm al-Qiyamah, what would that mean? There is no Yawm al-Qiyam. That's the alternative. How would that impact on like the way you look at the world? Al-Sha'rawi rahimahullah, he said, as for the believer, the fact that he knows that there's Yawm al-Qiyamah actually strengthens him. Because he says a believer, he can't do many of the things that other people do. He can't enjoy himself like other people do. He can't go certain places, eat certain things, you know. Especially when you're young, all these questions, why is this haram for? Oh, it's got gelatin in it. Oh man, I can't eat that either. Yeah? So this, I can't do what everybody else does. But then you realize that, you know what? Maliki Yawmiddin. There is the life to come. And though I might have to restrict myself in this life, don't worry. There will be enjoyment in the life to come. And so that strengthens the believer. He feels that he can restrict himself in this life easy. Everyone's enjoying themselves, no problem. They enjoy themselves here, they will not enjoy themselves in the life to come. As for me, I can restrict myself for that life. And then he also said, if you said there was no day of judgment, then what does that mean for all oppressed people in this dunya? Justice, yes. There's no justice for them. Like, imagine the unbelievable oppression taking place in this world right now, just in Syria alone. All of those hundreds of thousands of people, yeah, living in such a brutal regime. Their only hope is what? This man may, even if he is taken to task and punished, can a man really be punished for destroying the lives of 100,000 people, 1 million people? Can? He's only got one life. You can only take it once. Which means the absolute justice is not there. Do you get this? Yeah? He killed so many people, even if you kill him once, in the worst way, it does not compensate for all of those deaths. So when you think of Malik Yawm al-Din, you realize there is that justice. And the oppressed person feels that, you know what, the justice will be served on that day. And no one will be able to get away from that. Okay, so this is the third lesson. And this brings us to the end of the dars. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa jazakumullahu khairan. Any questions? You can take questions. Sisters can ask questions.